You can be free. You can be free. Let me pray. I'm excited, and I pray that you are. Pray that your hearts are soft and ready to hear from God. Father, thank you so very much that we can be free. And we can only be free through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for knowing what we need, Lord. Thank you for providing for us, Lord. And I do thank you, Father, for these precious women who've come to retreat, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that they will meet Jesus here. That those things, Father, that they have come with on their hearts, their concerns, their worries, their burdens, Lord, and their bondage will be loosed this weekend, Father. And I pray that when they leave this place, Lord, they will be renewed and refreshed and set free. Why? Because you are God Almighty, high and lifted up. And there's no other God above you. So we worship you tonight. We praise you tonight. And Father, we ask that you would decrease me and increase Jesus. Oh, Jesus, speak through me tonight, Lord. Oh, Father, let them not see Joyce, not hear Joyce, but hear the precious, precious voice of Jesus Christ speaking through me. Empower me, Lord, with your spirit, and let it rule and reign in this place tonight. And we will give you the glory. We will give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I am just a vessel. Just a vessel. And you know, God doesn't ask you to speak on anything unless he's going to walk you through it. I am so happy to see some of my sisters and smiling faces. Fergie, I see you back there, girl. And some others of you that I know over the years. Thank you, Joyce, and thank you for that precious song. It touched my heart. It really did. And I thank all the ladies on the committee who've been praying for me, and for my friends who are not here, who are in Atlanta praying for me. And it's just good to know that God's got women who will lift you up. So that I'm not standing here by myself.
Amen.
I thank God for my sister who played so beautifully for her. Let's give her a hand. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the original bondage. And there are some handouts around someplace. And I hope that Susan and some of the others of you will help them get turned out. And we're going to ask some questions this weekend. I have a friend who ask this question all the time. What am I doing? No matter what's going on, she'll say, what am I doing? And I'll tell you a little bit about her story. But the question for us tonight is, what will it take to get these chains off me? What will it take to get these chains off me? And tomorrow we're going to spend time talking through, both in the morning and in the evening, a very special man who knew what it was to live with chains. We're going to talk about Paul in the morning and in the evening. Because Paul had a secret. And that secret was that he knew how to embrace his chains and kiss his chains. And I know you're sitting there thinking, honey, you don't know what kind of chains I have on me. And I certainly don't want to kiss them. But we're going to talk about how we can embrace some of the things that we're in bondage to. And then on Sunday, I have planned something, I pray, that will encourage your hearts. If we're going to be bound to anything, bound to anybody, we need to be bound to God in prayer. So we're going to deal with that on Sunday. So what does it take to get these chains off me and these chains off you? Let's define bondage, shall we? What are we talking about when we talk about being in bondage? My sisters, we are talking about being wrapped up, tied up, and unable to get out of whatever the bondage is and whatever the restraint is. Because when you're in bondage, you're not just in bondage to chains, but you can be in bondage to rope. You can be in bondage to fetters. You know what a fetter is, don't you? Or a tether. That's what we put on a leash when we put on a dog, and he can only go but so far. That's a fetter or a tether. We could be in shackles where our knees, our ankles, our hands are tied up with rope. Another kind of fetter or anchor or bondage is to be anchored into something. And an anchor, you know, holds a ship still. A large ship can be held still by an anchor, which is so, so deep down into the ground that the ship can't move. So there are lots of different kinds of restraints that bind us. But the one that binds us the most, the one that we all need to be rid of, is the bondage of sin. So, but before I talk about the original bondage and how that happened, I want to tell you a little story, and I got my friend's permission to tell you about her bondage. I will tell you about my bondage later, because God took me through something to get here tonight. I'm telling you. When I started praying and asking God, what should I say to the ladies? How should this go? What do you want to say, Lord? The Lord said, let me teach you by releasing you from an old, old fetter, an old, old shackle, an old, old rope and anchor that's been binding you. So let me tell you about my friend Eunice. Eunice, as I said, asks the question all the time, what am I doing? So about 15 years ago, she has a hoarding habit. Anybody know what it means to hoard? I saw a few of you back there go, She loves paper, and all of the mail that she gets and all the newspapers that she gets, she has kept them in her house for years. So a girlfriend and I decided we were going to have an intervention about 10, 15 years ago. We were going to go, and I have the spirit of administration, so I took a box with files and labels, and we were going to organize it all, and we went to her house, and we told her what we were going to do, and she had bags and bags of mail and those advertisements that they send you. And as we were trying to fold things and get rid of things, she was sitting on bags, and she didn't want us to see that bag. I mean, her bills were all in there. How do you do? Well, we finally got her straight 15 years ago. Well, let's fast forward. She was right back where she was 15 years ago. But to add to that, her cousin has dementia, so her cousin had to come live with her. Her cousin brought all of her paperwork with medical bills and everything. So now it's just not her stuff, but it's her cousin's stuff too. So when you go to her house, you know, she moves stuff so you can sit down. But she's hoarding it all. And we've prayed about it. We've talked about it. And she'll ask the question, what am I doing? I said, well, ask the Lord. And he said, get rid of that paper before you bring it in the house. You know, we've got advertisements and letters. Get rid of it. And so I said to her, well, what did God tell you? She said, he said, get rid of it. I said, just like that? She said, yes. So I said, well, did you? She said, no, because I haven't been through it all yet. And I need to look at it and see what it is. Anybody can relate to that? And so about 2 weeks ago, she called me outdone. Because she had started now not writing down the checks and things and the money she was spending, but she would just take money from the bank, and she got down to zero. And this woman has plenty of money. But because of the paper and how she likes to keep it all, she had it all in a big plastic bag. Well, bill collectors started calling. Her house note was due. And, I mean, she was going absolutely nuts. So I said to her, what did God say for you to do? And she said the same thing he told me the last time. I said, what are you going to do about it? She said, I don't know what to do about it. Well, that's how we are with the issues that bind us, my sisters. Yes. And some of them we have held on to for years. And we still don't want to get rid of them. Well, finally, she has a health issues that has come up. And they found she has emphysema. And she is really desiring to be obedient to the Lord. And that's the second issue we deal with, isn't it? God told her 15 years ago, get rid of that paper. And she still has it, but slowly but surely. This is the third thing. You cannot dump some of your issues immediately. It's going to take some time. So let's think about that this evening as we go and ask ourselves the question, what am I doing? And how am I going to get rid of my bondage? Well, let's look at the original bondage breaker, shall we? In Genesis 3, you'll go there with me. Who knows who the original bondage breaker was? Adam and Eve. Okay, as we look at that, it's very interesting that a woman broke God's intended purpose for us. And we're going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read from the large print here, but I have my Bible with me, okay? Will you read with me with your eyes? Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he slithered up to the woman and said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Satan, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Now, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Verse 9 says, and here's our God asking a question. But the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" Now let's go back up to the top. You see, when Satan slithered up to her, Eve should have turned to her husband and said, "Why is the snake talking to me? What is the snake doing talking to me? What is Satan doing talking to you and putting you in bondage? Why? Why are you letting that happen?" And then she has this silent man. You know, we women have thousands of words compared to a man. And this is this Adam had nothing to say. But he took up the fruit and ate it too. And then we know that that put us in the original sin, didn't it? But God in his wisdom and God in all of his might and God in all of his power didn't leave us there, my sisters. God came through, and he didn't have to ask Eve where she was. God knew where Eve was. He knew. But he wanted her to know what she had done against him. She had disobeyed him. My friend Eunice has been disobeying him for years. I have disobeyed him. You have disobeyed him. But he has set us free. He has set us free. We don't act like he set us free sometimes, but we're free. And we're free indeed. And we're free because of what Jesus did. And he did it many, many years after the Garden of Eden, didn't he? All right, as the original sin was committed, and then it just went on down through the generations, didn't it? Cain and Abel, and then Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and we come on down to Moses, and we get right on down to Joyce and you. And here we sit. And we're praying, some of us praying desperately, "Oh Lord, I want the shackles of these sins off me. And what do I need to do? What do I need to do?" Well, I don't know what your bondage is, but you know. So I want you to turn your paper over and write on the back of it your bondage issue. This is for your eyes only. You're not going to show it to anybody. But you just write, "What am I bound to?" And I'll tell you what mine is. It's people pleasing. Anybody? Anybody? Don't be ashamed, sister. Hold that hand on up there. But God is working it out. He's working it out. And he wanted me to know that you're not going to stand before my sisters and talk about your issue, are you? I'd rather not. But to be obedient to him, I will. But I want you right now to be honest with yourself and say, "Lord, what am I about?" Or maybe in the past. Maybe it's nothing right now, you know, but maybe in the past. And while you're doing this, I looked for, this is a very difficult topic because it's spread out all over the place. And anybody that I talk to, and Susan and I all know, I mean, bondage can deal with a whole lot of stuff. I just read the other day, somebody's in bondage to jealousy. I mean, those are so many ways that you can be in bondage. But I found this list, and it's not a complete list, but after you, when you've all got yours written down, just kind of look up, and I'll know that you're all finished. And we're going to see if you can find your issue on this sheet. Everybody ready? Got yours written down? Who can't find any bondage issue that they have? Okay, very good. And everybody has written theirs on the back of your? Okay. Some of these are weird, but just bear with me. We're going to go through. The fears, can you see that clearly? It's kind of small. I'm looking for the clear it up thing. A clear it up button? On. Oh, okay. Is that better? I know it's small, but... Yeah. Is that better? Okay. Fears, anxiety, death and dying, we can be in bondage to that. We can be in bondage to love, being loved, failure. We can be in bondage to Satan, people, embarrassment. Don't want to be embarrassed. I'm in bondage, so I keep myself safe from other people being embarrassed. Being ugly, being beautiful, you can be in bondage to that. Too pretty, too ugly. The consequences of a lifestyle you could be in bondage to. Something that way you have lived that has caused you to be in bondage. You can be in bondage because you've been deceived and you've been deceived and you've been deceived and you've been deceived. Prejudice and bigotry. You can be in bondage to education. That was one of my issues. You had to be, just had to be educated. Had to get as many degrees as I could get. You can be in bondage to having fun. Be in bondage to not having fun. You know, I'll just stay home if I can't go out there and play where I want to play. You can be in bondage to the future. You can be in bondage to sickness. You can be bondage to being married, not being married, financial ruin, divorce, homosexuality. You can be in bondage to the thought of going crazy, having pain. You can be in bondage to committing the unpardonable sin. Authority figures. I don't like people telling me what to do. I'm grown. I do what I want to do. And that goes for God, too. You can be in bondage to abandonment. Growing old. Never having children. Sexual abuse. Eating disorders. And can you see some of those down there? Drunkenness. Cheating. Procrastination. Greed and materialism. If yours is up here, raise your hand. If yours is up, my Lord, look at that. Everybody's is up here. You can be in bondage to the occult, mysticism, fortune telling, Ouija boards, non-Christian religions, unforgiveness, irresponsibility, rebellion, anger, bitterness, people pleasing, pride, power, lying, stealing. And at the very bottom, I think it says technology. No, it doesn't. Oh, it does. Technology, entertainment, and music. The latest bondage in our country is technology. I got to Twitter, I got to Facebook, I got to text, I got to drive down a highway 70 miles an hour in text. I mean, ladies, that's just what I could think of, and if there's one that I didn't put up there that you have, somebody yell it out. Guilt, okay? Guilt could be in bondage to guilt. Oh, my God. Look at all of those different ways that you can be tethered, shackled, tied up, twisted into. And what that does is hinders your life in Christ Jesus. Because your mind is constantly on, how can I get out of this? And what are the ways that I can get out of this? Well, I've come to tell you that there's only one way to get rid of the original bondage, sin, and that is to know God. And you know God through His Son. Now, I mean really, really know God, because tomorrow we'll talk about bondage to Christianity and bondage to going to church and working in the choir and the usher board and the whatever other things that we are in bondage to, and it's in a nice place. It's in church. But just think about that. I mean, I'm in bondage going to church. I'm supposed to go to church. Yes, you are. But you're not to neglect your relationship with Jesus Christ because you're sitting up in church. Well, what's the truth then? What is the truth about God? Eve got it all wrong, didn't she? She did not understand that she was to trust Him, that she was to obey Him, and she was to do what he said. God is sovereign, ladies. He created you and he created me. God is holy, and in him there is no unrighteousness, no darkness, no sin. And when God speaks through his word, guess what? We are to obey. God has a character. Anybody know what character is? It's who you are. And especially who you are when nobody's looking. Okay? God is powerful, sovereign, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent. God is gracious and merciful and kind and loving. Who would not want to obey a God like that? This is the truth about God. And the truth, when you know it, will set you free. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can imagine or think. God loves you so very much that he sacrificed the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, what is the truth about Jesus Christ? He loves you. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is a God. He is a part of the Godhead. 1 John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So there's no separation of the two. But he is the one through whom God has worked out your salvation. What's the truth about sin? Sin corrupts. Sin and Satan corrupts. Sin is the exact opposite of who God is. Sin is pervasive. When we sin, we reap more than we sow, longer than we sow. Some of the things that I have done, still, the repercussions of them come back to haunt me. And they do you too. But Satan is the accuser. As a daughter of the king, I don't have to listen to Satan accusing me and reminding me of what I did. And you don't either. Satan is the deceiver of this world. Scripture tells us that he is called the devil, the evil one, the father of lies, the god of this world. I love what Tony Evans says. He says, I don't know why we get upset about sinners sinning, because sinners sin because that's what sinners do. And that's true, but we get all upset about somebody that did something to us, and that person's a sinner. And somebody who saved can do something to us. We're still sinners. Satan is a murderer, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of demons, the ruler of the world, and the serpent of all. He has a long list of attributes that are the exact opposite of God's attributes. Nobody looks forward to an encounter with Satan. Satan knows how to sneak up on you and hit you from behind. Satan knows how to pound you on the head with something you forgot or thought you forgot. Satan will attack you when you least expect. He is not going to confront you in a bright red suit. Trust me. He will confront you with family, with friends, with foes, and with frenemies. You know what a frenemy is? So what is the truth then about you? The truth about man is that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. After Eve and Adam sinned, we inherited their sin nature. And our natural man was separated from God. And we needed a Savior. No matter how good we think we are, how much money we have, how much education we have, how much power, position, or politics, no matter what our brand is, that's the new one, you know. No matter what our bank account is, our lifestyle, what organizations that we belong to, we are still sinful and we need a Savior. My sisters, what is the truth then about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Now, some of us think the Holy Spirit, who slaps you upside the head and sends you jumping over the seats in church when you get happy. But that's not what the Holy Spirit or who the Holy Spirit is. He is a person. He is not an it. And he has come to be the helper here, because Jesus died, rose from the dead, and is seated at the Father. And he said, I'm going away, but I cannot go. I have to go, so that when I go, I can send the Holy Spirit back. And so when he sent the Holy Spirit back, he was the representative then of God and Jesus here on earth. Well, he has come then to teach you, to guide you, to convict you of sin. So that little voice in you that says, don't do that. You know, and get ready to play the lottery and you're a Christian. Don't do that. Cynthia, you're going with that married man. Don't do that. I always have to laugh when I think about that, because if he's dishonest with her, what do you think he's going to be with you? But that was very well placed, Cynthia, and I know that's far from who you are. That's far from who you are. But the truth then about the Holy Spirit is that he will guide us and he will lead us into all truth. And my sisters, we need to begin to ask the right question. And the right question is, am I saved? If God, what God says is true, and I believe it, if what is true about Jesus is true, and I believe it, and if the Holy, what is holy, true about the Holy Spirit, and I believe it, am I saved? Well, there's a standard of life that God has called you to live. And it is not raggedy, my sisters. Amen. It is not shaky. And if you knew the ugliness in me, you would shake your head. Say, Lord, have mercy on that child. But for the grace of God, but for the grace of God, I can stand here and talk to you. If I knew what was going on inside of you, I would go, oh, my sisters, are you saved? So what did God do with the original sin? No S on it. He hung it on the cross. And let me see if I could do this. That was a chain that Eve had, that Eve and Adam brought on me and you. And God said, I'm going to take that chain, that fetter, that shackle, that rope that will bind my sisters to eternal hell. And I'm going to place it on the cross with Jesus, my son. And so he did. He took that and he placed it on the cross. And some of us, instead of being renewed in our minds and transformed in our lives, go back and take it off. But I'm going to leave it there. And I want you to picture where your sin is. Are you saved? Have you said yes to Jesus? I surrender my life to you. I give you my life. I know I'm raggedy. I know I have done things I should not have done. I'm still doing things I shouldn't do. But Lord, I surrender. I give you my life so that Jesus can live in me, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a woman burdened down and shackled with sin. And we'll give you a chance before this evening is over to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, because until you do, the thing that you have on the back of your paper is going to be there. Now, you could be saved and it be there, or you could be unsaved and it be there. You choose. But I wouldn't walk away tonight, my sisters. I wouldn't walk away this weekend. I wouldn't walk away from an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. I came to claim good news to you tonight. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How long have you been brokenhearted about that man who is married that you sleep with? And he keeps telling you, I'm going to divorce my wife. And he hasn't done it. How long are you going to stay in bondage to that? how long are you going to be brokenhearted about sons and daughters who are doing whatever they want to do out there? And when they get in a deep hole, they call you mama. 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 Mama, I need you. Come get me out of jail. Mama. And you go running down to do it. How long are you going to be brokenhearted about that? Jesus said, He has sent me. God has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release you from darkness for the prisoners. Some of us are imprisoned to our habits. Habits of eating too much, shopping too much, spending too much, going too much, loving too much, talking too much. I had to catch myself because I tend to have too much to say about my grandchildren to their parents, which is the wrong person to say something to. And I had to say to them, I'm sorry for having, and I may have been right. I may have been right about what I had to say, but I had too much to say. Because I'm older does not mean I'm wiser. Just because, I'm so old now I can say anything. My mother-in-law told me, she said, I'm 50 years old now, I can say anything I want to say. Well, I've learned that that's not right. Jesus said in Isaiah 42:7, He has come to open the eyes that are blind and to set prisoners and to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. My sister, are you sitting in darkness? Are you pretending to be somebody you're not just to please people? Are you pretending to be your children's friends so that when their friends come over, they'll like you and they can have fun at your house? So you'll let them do whatever they want to do, so as long as it's in your house? Jesus came to set you free from that. That's walking in darkness. You're the adult. You're the parent. That's your house. You need standards like God has standards. Isaiah 49:9 says, Jesus says to the captives, come out. Come out to those in darkness and be free. Come out of the situation that you're in. I'm going to pause here and I'm going to let you say, come out of, and then you can mumble what's on the back of your sheet. Ready? Ready? I will come out of. I didn't hear it, but I'm sure you said it. Let's say it again, and this time mean it, okay? This time mean it. Barbara's going to stop drinking. Gloria's going to stop smoking. All right, ready? I. Your name. Will come out of. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And you are able to do that. You are able to do that. Turn with me to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Are you there? Paul, the great writer, and we'll talk about him tomorrow, said, therefore, I urge you, sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. God is saying, get up on the cross and stay there. We keep trying to crawl off the cross. But He wants us to be on the cross with Jesus. The Bible says, die to yourself. Die to yourself. And then verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, we are in a process of being sanctified. We will not be perfect until we see Jesus. Amen. But you're going to have a changed and renewed and different mindset. You are not bound to what's on that sheet. You think you are. Now think about that. You're not bound to it. You think you are. You've been set free. But you need to claim your freedom. You need to walk in that freedom. And you need to ask yourself, my friend's question, what am I doing? Why am I bound to this? Who will set me free? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus will set you free. Okay, I'm going to ask you to turn to the next page where it says chain chasers and change breakers. And the chain chasers and change breakers, and we're going to read some of these scriptures and walk through them, are the cross, the free gift of Christ if you choose to accept it, faith, repentance of sins with an S, walking with Jesus, prayer, and the Word. Okay? So everybody got your Bibles open. Let's go through some of the scriptures dealing with the cross. All right, you go looking, and I'll have somebody stand up nice and loud and read to us what the scripture says. We'll start with, the cross is a chain chasers, ladies. And if you know that, if you believe that, then you can be set free. It's a chain chaser. Romans 3:23. Who wants to read that for us?
Some.
Amen. Thank you for standing up, my sisters. Now, there is not one woman in here, different from anybody else in here, that is not, does not need salvation. All means all, and that's all means. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's no sin greater or smaller. They're all, it's all the same. Okay? Romans 6:23 says,
for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus
okay.
our Lord.
Amen. 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 When Eve decided she was going to obey the serpent and not God, she caused us to be separated from God in a death that would require a new life. We'll get there, okay? So we died. She died. She had to leave that garden. She had to take her husband with her. And no talking ass. Take him with her. But she died, and she brought upon us that death, that separation from God, okay? Next one.
But God showed his great love for us.
Oh, God. Oh, but he did. Oh, but he did, and I'm so glad he did. He showed his love. I like the way where it says God demonstrated his love towards us.
Amen.
I used to be fooled by you telling me you love me and then acting another way. I now know that you demonstrate your love. You treat me the way you should. No matter what your mouth is saying, you treat me the way you should. Anybody been there? Amen. Okay, Romans 5:8. Did we just do that? Yes. Romans 10:13, somebody.
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay. I love the story of the thief on the cross. My ladies, he didn't go to church. He didn't belong to a committee. He wasn't even baptized. He didn't have a Bible. But he believed in Jesus. Just like that. And the Lord Jesus said to him, This day you will be with me in paradise. So if you're sitting here and you haven't said yes to Jesus, this day say yes to Jesus. If you call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. Okay? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Amen. Amen and amen. You shall be saved. Not maybe, not if, not but. Not if I think you ought to be, because you know God's character. He does not change. He doesn't lie. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if he will not change. Okay? Then what is this free gift? What is this free gift? I'm sorry. Okay.
Right.
Now, are you half-stepping? You believe, say it with your mouth. Say it in there. Yeah, I know. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. And your lifestyle doesn't show it. I'm sorry, ladies, I am not the woman I was in October of 1981. Trust me. I am totally, totally different. And if you are bound to that old lifestyle and you still act like it, look like it, smell like it,
you're a duck.
You're a duck. You cannot live that raggedy life and say you love Jesus. And you're not fooling anybody but yourself. Oh, my sisters, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Don't beat me up now when it's time. It's a free gift. When somebody gives you a gift, what do you say? Oh, thank you. I don't want to take it. It's free. You take it and you say, thank you. John 3:16, we all know it. Say it with me. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish means to be done with you, gone, finished, no more. Everlasting life means, you know, we don't die. We either live unto Jesus or live away from Jesus. You will live one way or the other. That precious gift that he gives you is what you need to be out of bondage. Ephesians 2:16, somebody stand up and read that nice and loud. Okay, I didn't quite hear that. I needed a little bit louder because of my ears.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having claimed the enmity thereby.
Having claimed their what?
Enmity.
Okay. Somebody have a different version. Read that to me. Let me see what I meant. Ephesians 2. Okay. Now, this scripture that I wanted was about faith, and I don't know where I've gone off here, but by faith we have received God. By grace you've been saved through faith. Where should I be? It's the gift of God. It's in Ephesians. Excuse my error. Ephesians 2, let me get there with you. Ephesians 2:8. Okay, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So, you know, ladies, faith comes from God. He's given you a gift of faith. He's given you salvation, and he's given you the gift of faith. None of it you've done for yourself. So by faith you receive Jesus. In other words, you believe what God says. You believe this word. I'm a reading specialist, and before I knew God, I could not read and understand this. I could read every word I could read, but I had no understanding. Now, that worried me. It really did. Until I, by faith, accepted Jesus as my Savior, then I understood what the Bible says. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I had to believe it, and God gave me that beliefism. Okay, repentance of sins. When we sin, God does not say, I will not forgive you. 1 John 1:9, who has that? That's the Christian bar of soap. What does it say? Go ahead, babe.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, very good. The thing that you're in bondage to, if you confess that, Lord, I am in bondage to whatever. Your word says, I'm depending on your word to be faithful. I'm depending on you to mean what you say and say what you mean. If I confess my sin, Lord, about you are faithful and you are just and you will forgive me. And your mind will tell you, no, he won't. Satan will say to you, no, he won't. The world will say to you, no, he won't. But God, the truth about him is, he will forgive you. We will trip, we will fall, we will do it again. But God forgives until some point, at some point, you stop. Because you believe. Am I right? Amen. All right. Walking with Jesus. 1 John 15. There's no 15 in 1 John. So let's try John. Thank you, Father. Let's try John 15. Is that what I'm looking for? When you are in bondage, you are a slave. If you're in bondage to sin, you're a slave to sin. And that means unwanted restraint. You're doing something you don't want to do. We have a history of slavery in our country. And black people were enslaved, not because they wanted to. Oh, please put me in slavery. But against their will. When you are enslaved to sin, it is against who God made you to be. You're made in his image. Okay, John 15, 7 and 10. I'm just getting excited. And it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Now get that picture, my sisters. Get that picture of Jesus is talking about the Father loving him. And just as the Father loves him, guess what? He loves you. So abide in that love. Rest in that love. Don't try to wiggle, squiggle, wiggle out of it. When you need to be loved, rest in the love of God. Yes. Why? Because he loves you. Okay? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, you have to obey. Yes. You do. I mean, bottom line, you have to obey. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. If you're in bondage to hatred and bitterness, and some of us were in families that we've passed down being mad when Aunt so-and-so for so many years that we just can't remember why we're mad at so-and-so or who was mad at so-and-so. I love these families that have family reunions and they get up and they have testimony time. If you belong to a family like that, they have family reunions and they get up and they apologize to Uncle so-and-so for what they did and Aunt so-and-so. And then they get back together as a family. It's hard to be at a family reunion mad at somebody, y'all. But we have that kind of thing going on. We're in bondage to hatred, in bondage to old things that have happened long time ago. So-and-so called me a name. 50 years later, you're still mad at her. Okay, but when you forgive and you're no longer in bondage to unforgiveness, which I think Cindy's going to talk about, you can love that person. You can pour out the love that Christ has poured into you on that family member. And guess what? You just might not get that love back, but you can still pour out that love. You can still pour out that love. Why? Because you've got the lover of your soul in you. Okay, let's finish up with prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You go back way back to the Old Testament. Wait a minute, let me get there. sister girls, ready? I'm glad that you're ready. Okay, go ahead, baby.
Their sins and
Okay. Amen. Amen. It begins with us. It begins with those of us who know Jesus and love Him and want to see His love in other people. If you walk into church every Sunday with a frown on your face, you're not giving God a good, brand. The God you serve is a God of love. And He can smile in you to other people. You're going to sit on a pew and you don't even know who's been sitting there 20 years. Who sits on that pew with you? You need to know the people on that pew. I said to somebody one time, I said, you know what? If I'm absent for church for 3 weeks and nobody calls me, I'm in the wrong church. I'm in the wrong church. Who loves you in your church and who do you love in your church? Who can depend on you and will call on you? The Word of God is a chain chaser and a chain breaker. The cross, the free gift of salvation, faith, repentance, walking with Jesus, prayer, and the Word of God. These are all chain breakers and chain chasers. But it's also the salvation message that this little part right here will take you through. So you can't leave here tonight saying, I don't know anything about salvation. She didn't talk about being saved. If you read through these scriptures and pray through these scriptures and you're not saved, and say yes to Jesus, you will be. Well, I want to end with this. I've got two suitcases down here. One is called the Case of Care. And the Case of Care. And this case has in it all that God wants for me and you. All of His love, all of His power, all of His peace, all of His joy. The fruit of the Spirit, His patience, His grace, His mercy. And then I have this suitcase, which I call the Case of Cares. Okay? The Case of Cares. And in this case, which is empty right now, I'm a woman that likes what I'm doing, and I want to stay in my sin. As a matter of fact, I'm not ready to be out of it. I have a niece who's 52 years old. I've been praying for her for as long as I'm saved, 30 years. I've been praying for my niece. And she used to say to me, I'm not ready, Aunt Joyce. There's still some things I want to do. I said, oh, you mean to me you want to sin, right? That's what you're saying. I still want to sin. I didn't say that to her. I liked to because I was being, what would you call, winsome. I wanted to be winsome. I wanted to love her to the Lord Jesus Christ and not smack her upside the head. I wanted to, but I knew that wasn't going to get it. About a year ago, two ladies asked me to have a Bible study with them, and I thought, let me ask my niece if she's at least interested. I came to know the Lord by going to a Bible study. I didn't know Him until I got there. And she said, oh, I would love to. Well, you know more. I'm not ready yet. I still want to do the things I do. But that, you know, some of us still want to sin. You know, we kind of want to still sit back and relax and sin. You want to keep on doing because it feels good. Nobody ever shared the gospel with you. That's possible. Nobody ever said you need to accept Christ as your Savior. And so we are still carrying around sins. And there are lots of, as many as there are up there, lying, stealing, cheating, you name it. It's all sin. And then some of us have some real bondage issues, okay? We've got some real hard bondage issues. And we've been carrying around that hate for our brothers and our sisters ever since we were little children. And we put that in our case of care. And some of us have been dishonest about something. I don't know what it is, but you told a lie. You may have told the boss you came in on time when you knew you were 20, 15 minutes late. So we'll just put that in our case of cares. And then there are some of us who are going to church faithfully. And we have not served 1 minute. Not 1 minute. We go in and we get out. So nobody sees us. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, and I'm not trying to be mean, but you know, but you've been seated church at least Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know. And some of us have come up here to the Sedan and we've said, Lord, have mercy. I can't wait to go to bed tonight. And then they have their session tomorrow. I'm going to still be in bed. And that Joyce Bray gets up there with her bricks in her suitcase to talk. I'm going to still be in bed. And some of us just have to have sex. And that booty call is waiting for us when we get home. You left a booty call, and the booty call is waiting when you get back home. And you refuse to surrender your body as a living sacrifice to God. And I want to tell you something about that, sisters. If that guy calls you and says, hey, how you doing? You say, fine. And the line goes quiet. He ain't got nothing to give you but the booty call. Trust me. And he's waiting for you to say, come on over. You don't want that. God's got something better for you. He's got something much, much better for you. But anyhow, you will put that in your case of cares. And then you got one over here. Was it one of the Ten Commandments? Let's put one of them in here. Your mom liked your brother more than she liked you, so you've been mad at her ever since. Put that in there. And I could go on and on and on and on. But what I'm going to do, instead of trying to, I'm sweating, y'all, instead of trying to put all of the concerns and worry in, I'm going to shut this, lock it up, and I'm going through life with it, okay? I'm going to tie it up, and I'm going to tie it up. Because, you know, we like things all neat and organized, and I don't want to look bad in front of other people, but I do want this case that I'm not ready to give to the Lord yet. I want my own cares, even though he has said, cast your cares on me because I care for you, okay? I'm still going to believe that I can handle this. You with me? Help. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up and tie it up, and I'm going through life with this. I got my education. I know what I'm doing, and I know what I'm talking about. So I'm living life large. Oh, help me, Jesus.
Joyce.
Help me, Lord. Help me.
Joyce.
Yes.
I am your creator. I made you in my image. I love you, and I know all about you. I gave my son to die for your sins. I have made great and precious promises to you and for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am God. You shall have no other God before me. I do not lie. You can trust me. I am the great I am. Sovereign, holy, eternal, powerful. And thou shalt have no other God above me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How am I going to do this, Lord? Who will help me?
I am the Son of God. I died for your sin.
Oh, thank you.
I rose from the dead.
Oh, thank you.
I'm coming back to make you my bride. Joyce, come to me. You're laboring and trying to carry a heavy burden. I will give you rest.
Thank you, Lord.
Take my yoke upon
you, Lord.
And learn of me.
Thank you, Lord.
For I am meek and lowly
thank
in heart.
Lord.
And you shall find rest for your
soul. Thank you, Lord.
My yoke is easy, and
thank
my
you,
burden
Jesus.
Is light.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus sent me to be your help, Joyce.
Oh, thank you, Father.
I am your helper.
Thank you, Father.
I am your
thank
strength.
You, oh, thank you, Jesus.
I will teach you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will guide you. And lead you in all righteousness. I will convict you of the sin of trying to do things your way.
Thank you, Lord.
You are precious.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
To us.
Oh, thank you, Father.
And we love you. Walk in the ways of God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son. Joyce, let me help you. Walk in freedom.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He said, my yoke is easy. Thank you. And my burden is light. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. My sisters, do you want to carry a case of cares? Or do you want to carry a case of care? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path.
This song says, God's mercy kept me.
Yes.
So I wouldn't let go.
Somebody.
Anybody in here ever felt like giving up?
To
just throwing in the towel.
Say
just
yes
up.
To Jesus tonight.
I'm not going to ask you to punch anybody, but just look at him.
If you've never said yes to him, and he is not your Savior,
looking at is here tonight only because
I want you
God's
to think seriously about becoming his daughter.
Somebody ought to
and
just
all you have to do
God,
is say
thank
yes.
Thank you for your mercy.
His grace and mercy
and grace that kept
is all you need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for my sister's father. Thank you, Father, that you will bless one tonight, two or three, to say yes to Jesus. You will bless them, Lord, to come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and the pardon of their sins, Lord. Father, you have given them a precious, precious gift. Jesus died on the cross for them, rose from the dead, and now all they have to do is say yes. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. If there's one out there tonight, if you would want to receive Christ as your Savior,
can I get a witness in here?
Would you just raise your hand? Just raise it up. Amen. Praise God. I see you, my sister. Is there another? Raise it up so somebody can come back to you, sister. Raise it up. Okay, thank you, Renee. I was right at the edge of the breakthrough. Trust God, my sisters. Trust Him with the sin, the chain of sin that has you bound, that original sin, where you don't know God at all. You might think you know Him. But you need to know that you know that you know that you know that you know.
Can I get a witness in here that knows about God's mercy?
There may be a sister who's struggling.
So I'm here today.
The bondage that has bound you has been keeping you, taking your joy, caused you many a weeping night. You know Jesus, you love Him. But you need somebody to walk with you, pray with you. You need to talk about it and get it off your chest. Give it to Jesus and let Him carry it because He's more than able. If you'd like to be prayed with and prayed for, just raise your hand up. Somebody will pray with you and pray for you. I see you, sisters. I see you. Raise your hand up, sister, so I can get somebody to you right there. Yeah. Right there. I saw another one back there. This is too much for me. I've been carrying it too long. I need to talk to somebody about it. I know God, but I'm struggling. My knees are weak. And I need somebody to pray with and for me. Thank you.
Father, thank you so much for my sisters who are being very transparent and open and saying, yes, I need prayer. Yes, I need salvation. Father, teach us to be open and honest with you. Not worry about who's sitting next to me or what they're going to think about me or any of that, Father. We just want you to be pleased with us. We want you to know, Father, what's on our hearts. We don't want to walk away from here, Lord, as heavy-hearted as we came. Father, we trust you to heal us in your time and in your way. We trust you to bind the enemy in our lives, Lord. We trust you, Father, for true freedom. When you set us free, Father, we are free indeed. I pray for my sisters, Lord, who are being ministered to right now. I pray for my sisters, Lord, who are still sitting and that may have a concern, Father. I don't know, but you know their hearts, Lord. Touch their hearts, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you've done this evening. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God.
You know, the Bible says, we will all stand before the seat of Christ.
Yes.
It also says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And God doesn't lie. So we need to understand that what he says is true. And thank you, Joyce, for giving us a clear plan of salvation. Appreciate that. There's going to